The gap in the resume could really sometimes be the boogeyman for a lot of people. And I like to just attack it right out the gate. And again, I'm coming back to the consult because people are so worried about it. There's a lot of story that gets built up around the gap. The gap could be, I was a stay-at-home mother for 30 years. And I supported my husband through law school, and now we're divorced, and the kids are out of, you know, out on their own. And then what about me? And I have no skills, which is totally crap. Of course you do.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So that to, you know, 6 months because you got laid off, or 2 years because you were in you know, recovery. So there's a lot of ways to go about this, but the simple way to say this is, in the end, it's the story that you can perform in front of people.
Right. Welcome to the Four Peaks Parents Podcast with your host, Thomas Miller. I'm so excited to have with me today, Kelly Joyce. Kelly Joyce is someone I've gotten to know over my career, our careers, I should say. And she is a seasoned career coach. She's the founder of The Truth at Work. She brings her corporate expertise and her own personal journey through burnout and recovery to the table. Kelly works with professionals and young adults who have had some bang-ups and hang-ups, right? And maybe along the way have may or may not have had a stint to treatment, or may not have had some struggles with mental health or addiction. And she helps them reset, rebuild their confidence, and get back into, obviously, the workforce. So excited to have Kelly on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. I'm really excited to speak with you and your audience.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as much as, of course, this is a show for parents, right, that have a lot of young adults, a lot of our listeners have young adults as well as tweens and teens. And there's a lot of, as you know, we all know, right, this whole failing to launch thing. But I think your work goes beyond simply just the young adults, right, who may or may not have what's called co-occurring issues, mental health and addiction. You obviously work with all kinds of folks, right, that maybe need a second, third, fourth, even fifth act.
Yes.
And you're always kind of doing such a great job of helping folks really kind of galvanize and look at what they already got, right?
Because
I think so many folks forget how skilled and capable they are.
All the time.
And they've had some sort of, you know, kind of, again, it could be a bang up, a hang up. It could be, you know, whatever in or out of their control. But where do you start? Well, let's kind of start there. What's like your typical, how you approach just helping someone maybe take that breath and, and congeal and just kind of assess and kind of begin the process of re-entering, right, their career. So talk to us about that.
Everyone starts in the same place, and that place is a consult. And people might refer themselves directly to me, but oftentimes it's a loved one or a professional. You know, maybe it's their therapist, for example. But I have lots of family, lots of parents, siblings, even spouses, that say, you know, hey, I really think that it's time for my loved one to have support. You know, they've been going it alone and it's not going anywhere, or it's just too difficult. Like, why make it more difficult? And so that is kind of, even though it feels like pre-process, I mean, even that starting to turn yourself over to something like that is a big deal. And so it's funny. I mean, I could have 3-4 people wanting the potential client to speak to me, and it doesn't mean anything until they say yes. To even have that first conversation, free, like no obligation conversation. And that could be really scary for people, but it's not. It's actually a pretty big, you know, relief and support for someone to start to talk about what is and what isn't going on with your career.
Yeah. Well, I have a kind of a direct question in a way, I guess. It's not right or wrong, but I have so many clients that have had a stint, let's say a treatment, whether they've relapsed, whether they finally availed themselves, which is a courageous act, right, of addiction, you know, mm-hmm. treatment experience, sober living, could be mm-hmm. More on the mental health, a co-occurring side. And there's a gap in the resume. And so right. I've heard a million, and I have my own, and I can tell you my answer, and you could give me a grade. I've heard a million suggestions over the years, many of which I think are not spot on. Some mm-hmm. are great, but how do you coach someone even around the gaps in their resume mm-hmm. when they're going through an interview process?
Yeah.
And I know it's highly individualized, and there's, you know, a gap could be 6 months and other gaps could be years and years. Right. So
yeah.
I'm just curious, like what advice do you give to folks when they're having maybe some shame or embarrassment, or they're making that become the reason why, right? Mm. They can't get back, you know, on the horse, so to speak, and jump back into their careers.
Yeah. Well, the gap in the resume could really sometimes be the boogeyman mm-hmm. for a lot of people. And mm-hmm. I like to just attack it right mm-hmm. out the gate. And again, I'm coming back to the consult because people are so worried about it. There's a lot of story that gets mm-hmm. built up around the gap. The gap could be, I was a stay-at-home mother for 30 mm-hmm. years, mm-hmm. and I supported mm-hmm. my husband through law school, and now we're divorced, and the kids are out on their own, mm-hmm. and then what about me? And I have no skills, which is mm-hmm. totally crap. Mm-hmm. Of course you do.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So that to, 6 months because you got laid off, or 2 years because you were in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of ways to go about this, but the simple way to say this is, in the end, it's the story that you can perform in front of people.
Right.
I usually do this whole tactic of, let's talk about half a dozen ways that you could talk about the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the right. most ridiculous.
Right.
It's like funny, you'd never say it kind of stuff. And then right. we get down to a couple of options and we role play them. And what's the one that you could actually get through in an authentic way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you have to deliver it. I wish I could mm-hmm. deliver it for you,
mm-hmm.
but you've got to do it. And so some people, they want to stay surface level and just be like, hey, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I got laid off or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Usually it's like, I got laid off and there was something else going on. Right? Mm-hmm. Or some people just flat out saying, hey, I needed a mental health break.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I took responsibility. I am mm-hmm. 1,000% better now. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready mm-hmm. to rock and roll for you.
Mm-hmm. That's I give myself a probably B+, actually, because maybe even an A, because I say pretty much the same thing. I always use the example of maternity leave or an entrepreneur. I have a lot of entrepreneurial clients who, when they think about going back into corporate or think about going back into whatever, it is actually funny that as an entrepreneur myself, who owned a building, who scaled a mental health community-based mental health center, and my wife and I were washing, literally cleaning the toilets and washing everything and answering the phones and fighting insurance companies. All it is easy how you're like, oh my god, like what do I write there under, do I just write like entrepreneur or founder?
Chief bottle washer.
Exactly. When you start chunking down, same thing with being a stay-at-home parent, mother or father, is like when you start chunking down, you're a project manager. Like you're a
team leader.
COO. You're a team leader. You're, same thing with the military. So I think I'm with you too, that attacking it head on is always the way to go. And I'm always encouraging my clients to be like, look, that gap right there, that gap is where I fell on my sword. I failed forward. I raised my hand and said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got in the rooms. I did, this, yeah. I did that. I got uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I learned how to work, whatever. And yes, I was in treatment and now I have, 12 months, 18 months, 3 years, whatever that is of sobriety or just, solidity with self. Yeah. I'm so glad I get three gold stars because I'm a big fan too of, I don't think skirting anything. Now, granted, do you have to tell, I always say to
everything?
Clients, you don't have to tell everything.
No.
You don't have to, get on top of a building with a bullhorn and shout this all over LinkedIn or whatever, but you can. I mean, we live in a world now where people are throwing up their coins all the time, you know, whether it's Eminem or some, you know, professional person. And I know it's easy for clients to be like, well, that's Eminem or they have whatever. Sure. But I think the going through that in a way, like you said, I love what you said about you come up with four or five different taglines, so to speak, or, and then you figure out which one you can actually exercise. Yeah.
And this is old. I mean, my prior career was in public relations for 18 years. I ran PR firms for software companies. And so I was a media relations trainer. And, you know, interview was where it's at. So, you know, doing a coffee is easier than sitting with the Wall Street Journal, right? About sitting about, like, why were your earnings terrible? You know, like those kinds of things. But I was, there's a couple things to think about the gap is one is that now it's kind of cool, right? Society has changed, COVID, right? Quiet quitting, flat out quitting, taking sabbaticals. It's hip now. So much so that even on LinkedIn, there's an option called career break. So people are just owning that story more. It used to be the first time where there was a lot of career breaks was in 2008. You know, so the Great Recession, the Great Recession, right? Very, very good people lost their jobs and it was devastating. And it was really the first time that we'd seen en masse people with big breaks and people were worried and that was new to the market. Now someone takes a break, I don't think HR even blanks.
I think that's such a great point that what you're saying is society has normalized this. And again, I think it's also because you're in your, you have a background in PR, right? You're going to help people again, communicate better, represent themselves more effectively. And I always say to clients that even a negative exposure is a positive exposure, you know, in terms of how you manage it.
As long as it's felt right.
Yeah. And like, I always say, like, there's a podcast episode way back when called Tear and Repair, which is like, I'm way more the terror in the family as in, than my wife is. My wife has a way squeakier, clean, lower exposure. However, I am the best at repairing in the household. So I, my superpower is on the repair side. I wish I'd tore a little less, but hey, I'm Sicilian. I'm from Long Island. I can't. No, I'm just kidding. There's things I could do, of course. I always try to get regulated before I try to regulate my kids because a dysregulated Sicilian Long Island guy is not not going to do too well. But it's kind of that low EQ to high EQ. You know, the tear to the repair, the low, the negative exposure to the positive exposure. I think that's so nice, and it's like must be such a disarming thing, right? When you're sitting there and you're building presence with people and being like, it's okay, you're good. Like, you're good. Not only are you good, society's good. The LinkedIn example is a great one.
Yeah.
Talk to me also about some other, you know, because I knew that was a question I definitely wanted to ask you about the gaps or the breaks, because that's something that so many of my clients in the past have used as, you know,
a way to stay away from it.
Right. This avoidance, which we know is BS, but there's value there. There's shame there. There's embarrassment there. Sure. What are some other similar speed bumps, whether self-limiting beliefs, erroneous thinking that you, or distortions, whatever you want to call it, that you help clients move through as well, that you see cropping up quite a bit?
I see a lot of undervaluing. I've done posts about this. It was, gosh, what was it? It was like 10 ways you undervalue you, right? And how it shows up. And it shows up all across the way that you present yourself. So it might look like going low on the kind of job, you know, like maybe a level or two below. Oh, I can't do that. Kind of thing. So you never even try. On your resume, right? Just under representation, under articulation. There's all my unders. I have to remember all them. But the under articulation is prolific. Oh my goodness. I spend so much time dragging information out of people. Things like, how much money did you generate? How many people did you manage? what's the impact that you created? What's the outcome and the results? And people forget. I spend a lot of time helping people remember or like put things together so that they can be, they could showcase who they are. And there's been times where I've put people's resumes together and they actually cried when they saw it.
That's beautiful.
Because they said things like, I can't believe this is me.
Well, it's, that's so beautiful. There's this, it's funny. I'm thinking of like the metaphors and adages that I've used over, oh my God, the 20, I'm getting old now. I think I'm 24, 25 years now in this space. One of them is that elephants have this long memory and they remember water sources from when they were infants. And that ability to remember, like, I think there's like this little pond thingy over there. Like, I think it might be like 25 miles away. We got to go over there. And some geologists on the listening is probably like rolling their eyes because I'm probably just botching the hell out of that whole thing. But I do know that they have really long-term memories, and that long-term memory keeps them alive because they can remember these tributaries, right, of water sources that
they're when like mud too. Drought,
right. When there's a drought. And it's the same sort of thing, is that when there's a drought, it's so hard for us, especially when we have an inner bitch, inner critic, inner gremlin, you know, that's really loud, right? For us to bring these things to the surface, and that work you do that just allows, right, this person to kind of suture themselves back together and see, no, in fact, I'm not, I am the summation of my story. I'm not just this little sick part or this broken part or this diminutive part. And when you put it all together, there's a lot of transferability there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
One of the very first things that I do with people is we talk about their skills. It's either the first or the second session we do together. And we talk about their hard skills and their soft skills. Everyone insists that they don't have any. It doesn't matter if they're a PhD or, you know, they've been to three colleges and they don't know if they're a sophomore or not, you know, like, and I do it intentionally up front before any decisions are made about what they want to do or who they're going after, because I want them to experience their intrinsic value. You are you. You bring this to the table. Some lucky person is going to hire you. And I just want them, they need the time and the space to get comfortable with the fact that they're going to go be their own spokesperson and talk about how they're, you know, that they can analyze or they can write or they can negotiate or they can design or whatever they're going to do. And it takes a little while.
It does, especially, you know, I don't want to get too psychobabbly here, but it, you know, if you have trauma, right? If you have these like entrenched neural pathways, right? If you're picking up the shame stick every day, you know, there is still shame and stigma, of course. However, I've seen so much progress, like you just even mentioned about on the career normalcy, for lack of a better word, of breaks that shifted. And even someone like, I agree that I think saying, oh, that break, let me tell you about that break. I'm actually proud of that break. That break is how I got my life back. That break is how I earned grit and resolve and resiliency. That's how I actually reclaimed, you know, safety and trust for myself and for my family and my girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. That's not just like a bullshit spin, you know, or some Pollyanna rose colored glasses. That's true. And that person has to break down so many of these archaic, you know, kind of ways of thinking of themselves and constructs, but also even the way of relating to the universe. Like you talked about, people are less apt to be kind of self-promoting when they're the unders, like you talked about, right? The minimization of self, right?
And some of that's cultural too, by the way.
Tell me more.
So in the US, you know, we're mostly taught to, you know, say like, you know, well, you got to go out there and do your thing. Do coach outside the United States.
Yes.
And Europe, and especially yes. Australia, New Zealand, they yes. have cultural stories around not boasting.
Yes.
And even what yeah. feels very mundane to us feels like really, really pushing the limits. The Australians have a whole national story, you know, called the tall poppy. Mm. You know, that in a field of poppies, the tall one gets cut down.
Mm.
And so there's cultural aspects to it too.
Oh, sure. When I was clinical director of wilderness therapy program, I doubt he's listening, but Dr. Robert Dyson, great guy, amazing leader. Big shout out to him. He was Dutch and he used to have the same thing. He used mm-hmm. to be like, you know, if you were for him to say he's like brilliant or smart, he used to joke like he'd have to win like the Nobel Peace Prize, like,
yeah. you
know, like, or like a Pulitzer or something. Like he'd like, you would never, you know, in a Dutch culture,
never
be like, I'm brilliant or they're brilliant or even they're brilliant. And he's like, you hear that word brilliant like every other day, you know, or every other hour, even maybe in the US. So no, that's a really great point. That's a really great point. When you see this person like beginning to, like you said, see the resume or the shoulders drop or they put the shame stick down or they're almost inoculating themselves maybe against the resistance, you know, what do you begin to see happen there?
Mm. I see a lot more acceptance of self.
Mm.
And then more willingness. A lot of this is about willingness.
Mm.
More willingness to say, okay, so if I have this value, what does that mean? And what can I possibly do? So that's really getting into, okay, so what's, there's more curiosity mm-hmm. about what's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's things that they know about, but then there's things that they don't know what they don't know. That's where mm-hmm. I can step mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. and say, do you know that there's these kinds of jobs or mm-hmm. that these are the skills that are really hot right now that mm-hmm. people want? Mm-hmm. And so people end up moving forward with some things that maybe they've had in the back of their mind for quite some time, maybe for decades, like mm-hmm. decades, mm-hmm. or things that they kind of know about. And then there's things that are really new. And so that's kind of more than the next step is having a plan with some options that they're willing to explore. We don't have to initially grand slam it all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
we need to just mm-hmm. test the waters about, mm-hmm. is this something I like, something I hate, or something that I'm just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's all a win.
Mm-hmm.
That's all a win. Mm-hmm. Because like after that, it's about action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Curiosity, I think, is important. This is a show for parents, hence the Four Peaks Parents uh-huh. podcast. And for the, you know, parents listening out there who I'm sure are frustrated as all hell at times because of their mm-hmm. young adult who has all the promise in the world, who, yes. you know, could, work with someone like yourself mm-hmm. and be reassembled, if you will. It's kind of like their doll parts and maybe they're Mr. or Mrs. Potato Head, the parts, and they need just to be kind of affixed back together. What role can parents play? Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure we see a lot of flying too low, at least I do. In my work, I see parents that are flying way too low, creating compression uh-huh. over their loved one's journey, way too much over scaffolding, way too much trying to contrive outcomes. Mm-hmm. I've even heard that, you know, parents are calling the bosses of their loved one, you know, and all kinds of things and robbing them of agency and fighting their battles. So of course there's the negative side. Those are the do nots.
Yeah.
But we could speak to some do nots too, but what are some do's? What are some things that you would encourage a parent to do with a young adult who maybe had a bang up and hang up?
Sure.
And is now has anticipatory anxiety or trepidation or excuse making mm-hmm. or blame shifting mm-hmm. around getting back on the horse with their career. What can they do that would be helpful?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you, parents. I love you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I speak with you all the time, several a week, right? Sometimes I speak with parents before the journey. Sometimes mm-hmm. I speak mid-journey, kind of throughout the journey. speak with a lot of dads. Like I had a really good dad conversation yesterday.
Cool. Nice.
I would encourage them to try your best not to have your vision for them be what they must do. I mean, you need to keep in mind that you're not the same generation. You're not. You might even be two different generations. Right? Like I'm Gen X. I'm 53. My mother's a boomer and my dad was a silent. Right?
What am I Gen X? I'm 46.
Yeah. Are you born before 1980?
Nope. I'm 79.
Oh yeah. So there you go. So you're I'm just a millennial. No.
I'm a Gen X?
Yeah. You could call yourself like a Zillennial. some millennials call themselves.
I don't want to call myself any of these things. I'm like anyway, but thank you. I'm glad I could clarify. So Gen X, versus God, right?
So the people we're talking about are Zers.
Yeah.
Right? They're as old as 28.
Yes.
I've coached tons of them. So I've been in business coaching for 13 years. But when I first started, my 20-somethings were millennials. Mm-hmm. Now they're Zs, right? Mm-hmm. And Zs have had a really interesting time. Millennials were smacked down by the 2008 meltdown. Mm-hmm. You know, it was tough to get jobs. They had a tough road, right? Mm-hmm. Zs have had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them were in high school. Some of them were in college. Some of them were freshmen. Mm-hmm. So a lot, you'll see a lot of them, some of them took gap years, right? And now, you know, I see a lot of them highly educated individuals, you know, it's like Cornell and like places like that. And they're having a hard time getting an entry level job. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't help that they have anxiety about work anyway, because even if they had a job, they never even met their coworkers for 2 years. Very isolating. Now AI has kind of marched in, right? Taking care of a lot of entry-level stuff, right? So if you're an Xer or a millennial parent and you think that the job search is going to be the same or the expectations, you're crazy. Really, like I just, like person to person here. Right?
Keeping it real. Keeping it 100.
You do need to listen to what's happening in the market and then differentiate between what is your child's anxiety and concerns and, you know, what's really going on out there. They're not going to have the same kind of job you had. They're not going to have the same kind of stability. You know,
but tell me more about stability. Do you mean more in the sense of that they're gonna transfer jobs faster? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
A lot more volatility, right?
Yep. Change.
Yep. Change. That's, yep. Change management. Yep.
That is what is happening. And so when people come here and they job search with me, I say there's a short term and a long term benefit. The short term is you're gonna get a job. The long term is I'm teaching you to fish. Every single time that you need to go get a new job, you know what to do. We're going to get back on the bicycle and pedal down the road again because you know what to do.
Yeah. What I hear in there, which I love, I say this all the time, is I always say, stay in process. Right. And it's like, once you're in process, right, the outcome is important, but not really. It's like you're talking about teaching them how to fish versus here's the fish. But once they understand the process of job finding, right, and or navigating in said space, when someone moves the gates, right, because they already know how to be a giant slalom skier, it's not as daunting, right? Yeah. It's not like they're going back to zero, right? And that's so powerful. And I mean, it's the same thing with the work I do with the parents. I mean, this family just reached back out and they were like, we have a crisis. And I was like, okay, tell me what's going on. What did you do? What didn't you do? And they were like, I'm like, no, you're good. Like, you don't even need me. I'm like, you're fine. Right. Because they're staying, like, stay in process, stay in, you know, back to pull up this video, right, in the Four Peaks Parents Program, because there's 23 videos they get. They get a whole workbook. They had me for 3 months, across, you know, 24 sessions across that. But what is evergreen, what has been kind of ostensibly ingrained, that's the process. And that's each time when there is a recapitulation, that basically means when things kind of blow up again, right, and we fall back into old dyads and triads and dynamics. We've been here before, right? Even in the program, there's, I don't know if you know the Portia de Nelson Hole in the Sidewalk poem. Do you know that?
I don't.
It's a good poem. You should check it out. It's like there's a hole in a sidewalk. I won't read the whole thing, but I pretend I don't see it. I fall in. It takes forever to get out. It's not my fault. That's the first chapter. Then there's a hole in a sidewalk. I see it. I still fall in. It's a habit. I'm probably doing this actually pretty well of justice. And then there's like the third chapter. I see it. I try not to fall in. I still fall in. It is my fault. I've been here before. I get out faster. Then it's like there's a hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Then it's like I walk on a new street. So it's a really great poem. It's very short, but it's that idea of you've taught them how to get out of the hole, so to speak, if and when that hole is different than when it was a year ago, because the market's always changing, like you described.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the year that, I mean, I always have returning alumni, but this year is the year I've had the most, you know, people from 8 years ago, 5 years ago. And they're just ready for another job. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, we've got this good thing going, you know, this method that I use, and let's just make it go faster. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage people while they're working, right? Like after the job search, and whether you've been there 6 months or 6 years, is, you know, to stay, and like, we're really throwing a lot of stuff around today. Like, here's my like little Catholic thing, is to stay in perpetual state of grace, right? Meaning always be ready, you know, to, you know, ascend.
No, I'm not religious, but I use the Serenity Prayer all the time. Yep. For those that don't know the Serenity Prayer, it's a huge in the rooms and 12-step, you know, which is God grant me the courage to change the things I can, the serenity to accept the things I cannot, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that, oh my God, I mean, for any parent out there, how often are we trying to change some crap outside our circle of control, and by doing so, exporting our and punting, right, the opportunity to create influence and impact and support our kids? And how do we have that serenity to know, you know, okay, this is not something I can do, but then where do I need courage as a parent? And maybe it's biting my tongue, or it's taking space, or it is at times putting a healthy foot up my kid's ass and saying, get up off the couch, you know, without threats, but, you know, clear deadlines of, we do need you to hop back into the workforce. And whether it's working with, you know, Kelly or whoever, or doing whatever, it's something has to shift. So, and that piece around perpetual grace, that's what you said, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
It means you're ready. Like, you're always ready.
There's also a humility I hear in there, which is nice. Like, there was, I read something recently. I don't remember who this person was. And sorry, I'm botching this, but it was a very famous, seasoned, one of the highest black belt type person. And they chose to get buried in their white belt. I don't know what book I got this from, but I love that. That's kind of that state of perpetual grace. Yeah, right? Like this idea of, and I always say, I always want to be spongy. I never want to be a saturated sponge, you know? And I love being the dumbest in the room. So the fact that people are reaching out is such a nice thing, because you taught them again how to fish rather than to have the fish. And now the market's shifting, and now they're thankfully reading the room and realizing, like, I have to up level, right? And that's awesome.
It's amazing to see, you know, there's some things that I didn't really think about when I started my business, right? I didn't, because I was so focused on getting going. I didn't think about what it would be like many years down the road, right?
Sure.
So one of my clients, he was in recovery. He went through Freedom, and he was in a different spot, you know, when I met him. Multiple colleges, one class away from graduating with his undergraduate. Mm. His parents were like, if there's anything you could do to have him finish, you know? And so I worked with him through a lot of that. He did finish. He did, you know, he was waiting tables, You know, he was trying to figure out what else to do. He calls me this year. This is my 8 years ago guy. He's married down in Raleigh instead of New York. His wife's PhD person. He'd been working at a financial services company, licensed, and was ready to move on and be like a higher level associate. Baby planning, all sorts of cool things. I was just blown away. I was really blown away. So we got him a new job that's in finance. But I just didn't have any grasping of how, you know, when you get one person a job, it has this whole ecosystem of the family, the spouse, the children, the person you work for, the team, the company, right? And it's just, they're back in the economy, right? They're spending money, they're buying houses, they're doing all these kinds of cool things. And so it's really, it's really wonderful.
Well, the thing, you could steal this from me if you want, but whenever someone calls me, this happened recently, and they're like, I have this problem. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, I'm in a hotel. I have an interview tomorrow. And it was like in a completely different city from where they were living. And I'm freaking out and I'm having an anxiety attack. And I was like, no, you're having like growth problems. You know, I'm like, congratulations. Yeah. You have new problems. Like, and I say this a lot to my clients. I'm like, I don't want to see you till you have new problems. You know what I mean?
It's new, like, level, new devil.
Right. So that client, that's so beautiful that, like, of course, they, you played a role. Of course, I always believe we play a role. We plant seeds. And I always, but I always give my clients all the credit because they're the ones like,
they're doing it.
Doing all the work. They're doing it. However, you were amazing at building again that process and helping them to stay in perpetual grace. They were able to navigate, oh my God, and develop a pathway forward. And like, that's, oh my God.
I was teary. Like, I really was.
No, there's nothing better than that. Yeah, like when I see, like I had this past Thanksgiving, I had so many families who crushed it. Like they had so much anxiety because, you know, the daughter's coming home or son from college and they're not sure. And, you know, then it's like Thanksgiving Eve and the kids hung over, or the other side, you know, the young adult is in recovery and all the and it's like, we're like, take a breath. Like, what can we control? We bust out the circle of control. We look at like what, you know, are some healthy do's and don'ts. How can we be really tactical? And then of course we let things go. And it's like amazing to see people in real time, like feel right that, oh my God, neural pathway and that cortisol bath going on, and they got the midbrain happening, they got the fight or flight, and still somehow they head to the PFC and they make a new choice. Like that's just, oh, there's nothing better. So the fact that you're helping people, not that the work wasn't equally as important then, or now, it, you know, it, sometimes we like view trench work as, you know, like the real work, and it's all the real work, because like you're saying now, there's all these things that are,
it's this real legacy.
Yeah. 100%.
It's 100%. It's really cool. I mean, I always say that I don't have kids, but I have clients, you know, from roughly, you know, 20 to 65, and it doesn't matter how old they are. They're my baby. Mama loves you. And we're going to figure this out.
Yeah. Well, there's something very confident about that statement. And there's something that's very emotionally safe about that statement. And I do the same too with my clients. The second peak is called emotional mastery. And it's really about how to be unflappable amidst your own uncomfortable emotions, or amidst your freaking psychotic 14-year-old entitled princess daughter who is raging in your face, you know, and that's very hard, or your 18-year-old or your 22-year-old or whatever that is. And the moment we can kind of like drop those shoulders, take that breath, it's almost like the world slows down. It's almost like we see the Robert Frost poem. There's the two paths, you know, and you could see where you would have gone 5 seconds ago or 5 years ago or 5 minutes ago. and then you're floating above yourself almost. It's like a healthy dissociation, and then you choose the new choice, right? And it's not happening to you, it's happening through you. And that's like next level stuff.
Yeah.
That's next level stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, the work that you're doing, it's such deep work. I don't need to tell you that. You're really helping people to reclaim, right, their identities, mm-hmm. their strengths, not carry, right, this kind of shame stick, not carry. And it's also, I can go off on a tangent, but what kills me about where we are as a society, and there is a lot of over scaffolding. It was really funny. I actually made a little post yesterday. It's not going to be, won't be posted yet, but it's all about why I love Stranger Things. And I literally start the post, the hook is like, are you preparing your kids to fight Vecna and the Demigorgon and the Upside Down, you know? And it's like, I love that show. But I love that show for a couple of reasons, because that's my childhood. Mm. And I...
Ahoy.
I hope my kids are not listening, but like I jumped turnstiles on the subway in New York City.
Oh,
and
no.
You know what I mean? And I lost, like, I never forget, like so many times, like not having enough money for the train and then getting kicked out. At Hicksville. It was always like Hicksville. And I lived in Ronkonkoma, and then having to figure that shit out. And that's pre-cell phone. And so, you know, that show speaks to what is possible, right? With community, not just yourself, but what you can call out of your own self. And there's a freedom. There's a freedom there. And so when we don't help our young adult or teen, I'm a big fan of teens, even tweens, sweeping the floor, setting the table, have industry, you're just inviting mental health.
Oh yeah.
They are 100%. There's a direct correlate between a lack of purpose. I just started reading Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning.
We talked about that.
Well, and I just finished A Boys and Men, which is a great book too. But it's all about, like, if you don't have a why, you're screwed.
Oh, you're done.
You know what I mean?
You're done. It's the whole thing.
So you're giving people themselves back, right? You're giving them an opportunity to reclaim their purpose, which is going to ward off so much mental health. So I just think the world of you. I've enjoyed every interaction and cross referral that we've had. And you know, take a hot second here and shout out how folks can reach out to you if they want to learn more, and how can people get you?
Yeah. So I mean, the most popular way that people come into contact with me is the consult, right? So I do a free 45-minute consult, and you can sign up right online, right? So my website, thetruthatwork.com, you can see it right up here. It's all over the website, or you could just go to thetruthatwork.com/consult. It goes right into my calendar, and I am there, and we will talk. In addition, I'm all over LinkedIn. I have tons of fresh content. I have a weekly newsletter, lots of tips and mindset kind of stuff. So there's something for everybody. So come on over to the website, sign up for a consult, go head on over to LinkedIn, connect with me, and we'll talk.
Awesome. I'm going to do the same right now. I always end with a similar PSA here. So, if anyone out there has a teen, it could be a tween too. I just got a whole bunch of tweens. Bunch of 12 tough.
Junior high.
ADHD. ADHD, ODD, a bunch of acronyms. Not the biggest fan of the acronyms. There's always, you know, an impetus or a reason behind all that. I'm a big fan of looking at the system versus the symptom. But if you got a tween, if you have a teen, if you have a young adult who's struggling with mental health or addiction issues, and you are scratching your head and you're living on an emotional roller coaster every day and losing sleep and not knowing where to start, please also book a free, we're both doing free 45-minute consults here. That's what we do. You just head over to 4peaksparents.com. There is also a free newsletter that folks can sign up for and get tips and tools right to your inbox. There's obviously this podcast. And just don't go it alone. And thank you. Ellie, and I love the work you're doing. I think, especially now, rather than avoiding AI or avoiding this or avoiding that, I love the whole idea of learning how to fish, learning how to stay in process, learning how to be agile and nimble for the next kind of new correction, because anyone who says they know what the market looks like in a year is lying, or 2 years. We don't know. And so having you as a guide and a coach and a mentor, and then learning and developing these ingrained skills that will be evergreen is so amazing and worthwhile. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great week. And thank you again, Kelly. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.